I love the opportunity to teach people how to, you know, go about utilizing the tools and being successful. Don't get me wrong, if they want the turnkey approach, we can provide it. And it's yes, it's beneficial, but I see the true value behind being able to walk into a business and say, Sarah, let's sit down. Let's, you know, whatever it is that we decide on that you feel is going to be best for you, let's teach your people, or let's teach you, versus let me just create everything. We'll build it. We'll put it, you know, we'll implement it and we'll launch it. And then it's kind of like, they're still in that space of like, okay, I have all this, but I have no idea how to actually, you know, utilize it to its fullest potential, nor do I know how to be successful longer term with the tools that you just gave me.
Welcome back to the Making Money Podcast, where we talk about how to make more money, keep more of what you make, and make your money work harder for you. I am your co-host, Benjamin Foss, and sitting across from me, as always, is the wonderful entrepreneur and business owner, Paul Ng. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Ben.
We had a brief hiatus because it's tax season and you are buried in tax forms. Like, I just have this, maybe I should have ChatGPT make an image of you, your head just peeking above a pile of tax forms, because that's about what your life is like right now.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. But today is a really fun and awesome episode because we have not only Sarah Ackerman back once again, 2 weeks in a row.
Yes, yes.
But also, we have a first-time guest who is going to help us cover some topics that we have not yet covered on the show. So DJ, it's DJ, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, my brain keeps wanting to say CJ so bad, and I'm fighting it like a bad alcoholic habit. So DJ, welcome back, or welcome to the show. We appreciate you coming down from, you came over from Highlands Ranch today, right?
Came over from Highlands Ranch, okay. But I have the opportunity to be in the mountains. So if we have any of those people that love the mountains, that's where home is for me.
That's me. That's why I moved to Denver, because I was like, I want a city near the mountains that's not Seattle or Portland. So awesome. Well, DJ, give us a little bit of your background. Tell us a little bit about what you've done in the past and what you're up to now.
Yeah, absolutely. So really the cool part about my journey is most recently starting this business, I worked in the leadership development side of everything. What's been really fun is working with leaders of multiple startups to a company that's probably really well known in Colorado called Angie, which was formerly Home Advisor and Service Magic. People know the name as Angie's List. And so really spending that journey all the way from college working with their leadership team, developing learning management systems, helping with their CRM creation, and then just evolving and helping leaders be better leaders.
I love that. And so you did that for like 19 years?
For like 19 years.
That's
so
a long time.
Yeah, I started with the company straight out of college and literally started in sales with the business and grew in the role and having the opportunity to watch the business go through 3 rebrands, being a part of that to helping leaders grow their leaders. And that's where my passion came in for one of the things that I really love to share with people is I really have this thought about everything in life is about people and having the opportunity to help people, help businesses, both in their professional and personal growth. And it's been really, really fun for me. And it's been an incredible journey. And that takes me to where I am today. So over the last 8 months, I spent some time learning from some influential AI experts and just really getting immersed in AI because I find it fascinating. Ben, you and I were talking about this a little bit earlier, which was really cool, but it's growing so rapidly and it's changing businesses and leaders in ways that I don't think a lot of us really thought about or imagined at first. And there's just so many incredible things that are happening. I felt like, wow, one, this is a great opportunity to help businesses grow and learn about where we're headed with AI, but even more so gives people, business leaders, and enablement leaders tools to be better at what they do and more time to do what they love to do. And so that's taking me down this new journey of really getting the opportunity now to not just work with one specific business, but all different types of businesses. And that's really exciting.
Well, the other big change is now you're not just working as an employee for someone else, but you've started your own thing.
Yeah.
What inspired you to sort of make that transition and take that leap into entrepreneurialism and starting your own business?
Yeah. So one of the cool parts about my piece to that puzzle is for about the last 7 years, I've had the idea of really what the company name stands for. It starts with us. And what it really means is it starts with all of us, right? So Sarah, you know, or Ben, or if you think about this, it's everything we do in life starts with us, whether we're a coach, a parent, a business owner, whether it's embracing change or doing something new. It really has everything to do with us as the ability to really dive in and immerse ourselves in that opportunity. And so that's taken me to where I am today.
I love that. So you were really inspired by just kind of seeing the, I mean, it's all about people, right? Just being a very people-oriented person, talking about leadership as well. And now you are working with businesses and incorporating all kinds of tools. So tell us a little bit about your business and what you do.
Yeah. So It Starts With Us is a business consulting and an AI consulting business, so that I have the opportunity to go into all different types of businesses and say, okay, let's look at your ecosystems. Let's look at the internal side of your ecosystems, the external side. One of the things that I'm working on right now currently with a client is we've got this great opportunity to start to create a new CRM for them and a new LMS. One of the exciting adventures of that is taking their materials that they've had and putting it in a location where all their employees have access to it, where they feel like there's a sense of growth within their roles and the business is growing, both on the side of being more efficient, more effective, more profitable, but also creating a vehicle for their employees to get excited about what's coming up next in their journey. So
I love that. Do you have you ever have employees walking up to you being like, hey, are you going to replace my job with some AI bot or something?
You know what? It's an interesting thing, because so many people, I think, have that mindset of like, oh my gosh, you know, AI is going to take over, you know, this particular part of my opportunity with the company. And what they're finding out is it actually makes it a better experience for them, right? There's so many tools out there that artificial intelligence provides that business owners and leaders can now do what they do best and what they're passionate about and spend more time doing those things, like working with their people or spending time with clients, instead of some of the behind the scenes stuff that for years and years, we were just talking about this today, but some of the tools specifically through AI, you know, specific tasks that would take you maybe days or even weeks prior to AI, people are doing in hours or minutes. And it's yeah, really changed the game on that. So to answer that, then yes, I've had some people go like, oh my gosh, is he here to, you know, basically create AI so I don't have a job? And then when we get the opportunity to really dive in, they're like, this is some really cool stuff. So
it is really cool. It's like equal parts cool and scary and also mysterious, because we're still even figuring out how AI works, how it thinks. And it's like blowing my mind just thinking about the fact that like we don't understand that much about how the human brain works. But like that makes sense to me, because like we didn't make the human brain, right? We made this shit and we don't know how it works. And that's the thing that's like blowing my mind. It's like, wait, how did we make something when we don't even know how it works? Like, and so, and then like you said, like the rate of innovation and change is insane. I mean, just this week, this past week, the last full week of March, Google introduced Gemini 2.5, I believe it is, which is has a million token contacts, which you don't know what that means. Basically, just it's like 4x the next competitor, just like in one day, just boom, done. And these types of updates seem to be happening like every month, every couple months. Like it's just insane, the rate of progress. And like you said before the show when we were talking, like if you haven't looked at AI in 6 months, you basically know nothing compared to like where it is today.
Yeah, and we were all talking about that, and I know Paul, we had mentioned that with you too, but it's absolutely true that this entire industry is growing. The last numbers I saw is like every 6 months by 10 times, right? So if you think about in a 6 month period of time, whereas they say to all of us that this will be the slowest technology we'll ever be in our entire lifetime. If you think about that, that is mind blowing, right?
Unless it goes really bad.
That's true. We were talking about that too. Yeah. You know, like, you know, there's some, you know, rumors floating around that even today AI will cheat if it knows it's losing, right? So it's definitely what I would say is kind of bending the rules in some places, but also doing so many incredible things. And there's so many stories out there about how AI has helped both in the medical side of things and the healthcare field to just in general, the opportunities that are coming out with, you know, you look at all the major players, right, with Grok or you know, OpenAI, or you had mentioned even, you know, what Google's doing these days with Gemini.
Microsoft too.
Yeah. And
yeah.
And to me,
Anthropic is another one. And then whoever makes Perplexity, I forget who's behind Perplexity.
So I think, that's a, I'm not 100% sure that Perplexity's, owner is, outside. I'm not familiar with exactly who the parent company is.
Yeah, I don't remember who that is, but Perplexity is another one I've been using a lot. It's really good for like the up-to-date information.
They were, up until recently, not offering a web-based version of it, I think, too, which was holding a lot of people back. Same with Claude, Sonnet 3.7.
Yeah.
So I think the players are figuring out, too, that web search and capabilities are a huge piece of that puzzle. That was a piece that a lot of the major players were early on saying, even like when DeepSeek R1 came out to, and you know, there's names out there like Quinn, which, you know, 2.5 that people don't, you know, talk much about, who's had web capabilities for some time now. I think some of the other players are catching up. And to be fair, there's so many in the actual arena that I would hate to, you know, not get something absolutely accurate about who their parent company
is. For sure.
Even Manus, which is, I couldn't even tell you who the parent company is in the last 3 months, is making huge waves in AI because of the amount of capabilities it's got through offering multiple agents to do multiple tasks at the exact same time. And that's somebody that nobody had even ever heard of, you know, 3 months ago. So,
yeah. Do either of you have any questions? I don't want to like dominate the whole,
you know, I am so oblivious to AI. Like I was telling Ben just a couple of weeks ago, we were having a conversation about AI and I actually really don't even know what AI does. I know what I've heard. So in my world, AI is all about numbers, right? So it's crunching numbers. And so clearly a calculator is obsolete now because really you plug in something into ChatGPT and all of a sudden it like tells you everything about this formula you just asked it to do. And would take me probably a half a day to figure out the intricacies of what I'm working with. Whereas 5 seconds later, it, boom, gives me this whole report or topics and it writes a whole story for you and you just give it a few little pieces of information and it starts researching. So kind of give us a little background of how AI really works, because I think some of our listeners, some of my friends who are listening would ask the same question. What does AI do for us that is the real world's usage versus our usage? Because I have this much, like literally this much usage.
No, I think that's where so many individuals and business owners, you know, look at it and say, wow, it's either overwhelming or I'm scared of it. Yes. People hear the word like open AI and they're like, oh my gosh, are they going to be able to see everything that I've typed in? Or is it going to start to track me on everything that I'm doing? Yeah. And so AI can mean a lot of different things, right? So the way it, from how it actually reads data is very intriguing. So it doesn't read it like, you know, humans do based on sentences. It reads it based on, like, to your point, code and numbers. And it takes enormous amounts of data and then computes it. And then that's how it provides information back to us. Now it's come a long way from even its first inception to where we are today, where it's getting very close to not just thinking models, but reasoning models. Mm-hmm. And to your point, Paul, what's really exciting is, yeah, like the deep research. We were just working together with a client and in one specific deep research opportunity, it searched over 731 websites for one particular output of information about a specific topic. If you think about that, the amount of time or even opportunity that we have today to go out and search like 700 plus websites to gain that knowledge, that information, and then provide you a detailed overview or explanation of something is absolutely incredible, right? To so many different people are using it, from like you can create agents to automate workflows. You can create voice agents to help you with your business, or text agents to have a better interaction and experience with your customers, to as leaders, things like, and I'll throw a plug out there for Gamma. It's one of my favorite tools, where it's writing, you know, amazing presentations in minutes, which would take normally hours to do outside of today's technology. And that's incredible. All the way to like the writing songs for businesses. I know that sounds crazy, but there's literally AI tools out there that will allow business owners to get really creative about specific, you know, tools for their business. We were talking earlier, one of the things that's been really fun for me and exciting is just how far AI has taken video creation. Mm-hmm. Something that would, you know, you would have to spend hours in a studio, people are doing now in minutes or you know, less than an hour, and creating these incredible videos for their business or for their YouTube channel that even 6 months ago, I would say the technology wasn't quite there. We just saw ChatGPT launch 4.0's Image Creator, which now can do just about anything you can imagine, including writing long text in images, which up until this point, some of their competitors were getting it some of the time right, but now the tests are, you know, come back over and over again that it's spot on. It's incredible to see what AI is doing. And these are all opportunities for individuals and business owners to say, okay, how can I utilize these tools to make a better experience for my business, my customers, or just for me personally, as you know, in my personal life. So
how do you feel about the question, which was just posed earlier, that AI is going to replace people? In my industry, it's already happening. So I see it literally on a daily basis, where clients will automatically go to an AI bookkeeping system versus humans doing the bookkeeping. So, and that's a large part of my industry. You know, luckily that's not the income generation of my part of my business, because if that was the case, I'd be losing handfuls every week. But how do you feel about, you know, the actual AI replacing people, such as a prime example, restaurants, servers, cooks?
So I when I first got into the AI space, I really wanted to look at that, because coming from, you know, a long history of working with people, I've worked with thousands and thousands of salespeople and leaders throughout my journey. I said, okay, well, what does this really look like? And there are some pieces to that puzzle. There, you can look at it and say, okay, if you think of it as something with that's mechanical, right? Something that could be replaced, like mowing your yard or doing something specific, you know, that maybe you don't necessarily enjoy, or maybe you do enjoy, but it has the ability to be replaced by AI. I do believe, and there's a lot of, you know, documentation that says, you know, over the next 5 years, we're going to see a big change in that, right? One of the things that was really intriguing to me is even just, and this is incredible, like the days of us holding our phones, mm-hmm, is limited. Like they say over the next 5 years that the majority of our experience will be through glasses, where we will actually be more physically present, but we'll have the ability to actually see through these glasses and interact with AI. And one of the things that they share that's really intriguing is the majority of us will have our own assistant that will live kind of side by side with us for the rest of our journey to do those daily tasks, the things that maybe we don't enjoy doing, like grocery shopping for us, or some of those other things that you're like, ah, you know what, it's something I've done for a long time, but maybe it's not something I love. But I do also believe that it's going to open the door for a lot of new opportunities. And one of the things that they keep talking about is the ability to have more time to spend with family and friends and to go out and to do the things that you love to do, right? And that's exciting. Do I think it's going to replace some of the professions out there as well? I do think at some point it will, you know, take that image or view on, as far as like, okay, if you're in a specific industry or field, it's either going to enhance it greatly or it could potentially, you know, take that over. But I don't think that's saying that it's not going to open the door for a lot of other opportunities. And I want people to get excited about that, because it's not saying, hey, listen, you know, you should be worried about your career being in jeopardy. It's, hey, how is this going to enhance the opportunities that lie ahead of you as either a professional or a business owner, right? One of the things that they do say, though, is for business owners specifically, if they don't start adapting AI into their businesses, they're going to get left behind, because the things that you can do through AI is just so much more powerful than a business owner or a business that's not utilizing those tools.
I agree 100%. That's one of my, that's my roadblock, and probably for a lot of people out there, is the adaptation to AI and the willingness to change with AI. I become that person that I said I never would. You know, the old fuddy-duddy that's like, I'm not going to do this because, you know, that's your young kids thing. But the fear factor is it's become part of me. But what's really exciting is that seeing what AI can do is an eye-opener. In some of my other industries, AI could never really replace it because it really requires hands-on. But once again, AI is... it's on point. I mean, there is almost no room for an error to occur because it has the ability to take all this research, and the probability of the correct answer is 99.99% because it has the ability to do that, whereas our human minds clearly can't absorb that much that fast, process it, and put it into an output of usable information.
So but I think I think you bring up a really good point, though, that I feel like I want to come back to is from the very beginning of what you were saying is, you know, how much value you're able to bring the world by, and business owners in particular, by teaching them these things. However, I think that the biggest roadblock to growing your business is communicating the result of what you're doing in a way that will actually make people feel not overwhelmed. Because, okay, I'm hearing all this and it's like, it's unlimited. It's unlimited what you can do with this, right? But how are you like positioning yourself? That's my question. How are you positioning yourself in the specific things and that you're helping, the specific maybe pain points that you're helping with? You know, Paul said, for me, AI is about numbers. And that's Paul, right? But if you had came to Paul and said, you know, something about the technical, you know, explanation of what you do, it wouldn't hit. He'd be like, I don't know what that means for me. But if you had said, well, knowing that you're what you do, you know, my solution to that is we can take XYZ amount of less time to compute this type of thing to get you this result. That's a very clear communication from your messaging perspective. And I was just very curious to see, it sounds like you dive into a lot of different things for clients. And I'm really wondering what's your favorite types of things to dive into, or what are the biggest problems that you help solve, and how do you communicate that?
Yeah, and Sarah, I love that, because that is the coolest part about what I get to do, is I get to walk into every business uniquely, right? And say, okay, let's talk about, what are your goals? Like, what are you guys looking to accomplish? And what are some of the, you know, challenges, or to your point, you know, roadblocks that you guys are encountering, right? For every business, it's different. And to Paul's point too, like every business owner has a unique business, right? So one of the exciting parts is through It Starts With Us, we take the opportunity to analyze that and say, okay, let's go look at what specific pieces to your puzzle you feel like are working well. And then maybe we uncover some that aren't along the way, right? And then we can start to talk specifically about that. Like, for instance, the two clients that I most recently worked with, completely different businesses. One's a very successful landscaping company. One is a very successful, believe it or not, beef company that, sells a ton of beef online. That's they're competing with some major players like Omaha Steaks, right? And very different business models and very different pieces to their puzzle as far as the different opportunities that we had within their business. One was spending way too much money on marketing and not seeing any results at all. To the other one was the efficiency and effectiveness of like even being able to utilize their customer relational management tool to its fullest potential. Right? So many times business owners, they, especially in a rapidly growing business, they grow so fast that they're outgrowing even some of the things that they originally started with.
Yeah.
That ultimately
they outgrow their systems.
Yeah.
This is where I was going. I was like, where it's like not only the solutions, but also like, yeah, what are making people self-identify as, oh, I need to talk to you. Like, have you noticed patterns? And I know they're completely different industries, and that's like one type of niche, but I'm saying it sounds like, are they companies that have outgrown their systems? Like, are they companies that have seen inefficiency in their marketing? It sounds like those are two maybe really big things.
They're huge.
Anything else? Yeah, I'm just very curious.
And then I think the other thing is, how are they developing their people?
Okay,
because so many people and so many businesses, especially with fast growing startups, right? Even in some of the really cool experiences I've had are like, okay, we started with this, but we're trying to get here, right? So here's where they're currently at, but here's where they're trying to get to. And then we have measurable opportunity to say, like, how do we get you there? And what are the benchmarks that we can put in place and the roadmap to help you be successful in achieving that, right? And so one of the exciting pieces to that was I was even working with a large startup last year, and just watching how much it changed to be able to bring the amount of knowledge to not only their leaders, but to even the enablement side for new people coming in and having a roadmap to say, like, not only, you know, do you have 2 weeks of training to help you be successful in your role, let's create a 52-week roadmap to say, like, oh my goodness, now you have the opportunity to have a roadmap for your first year of your experience and growth within the company, right? So that's probably the one of the most unusual things about It Starts With Us, is we have the opportunity and ability to say, like, okay, we don't need to just focus on one specific piece. If you see that there's multiple pieces within your business that you want to enhance or at least analyze and take a closer look at, we can do that. Yeah. But to your point, Sarah, right now what seems to be extremely popular is how much SEO and SEM is changing because of AI, and even EGO, which is basically how are people now searching through LLMs to be able to find search results. And your traditional, we were talking about this earlier, Ben, but your traditional search results in Google is not the same search results you're going to get if you go into ChatGPT or Gemini or any of the other major, you know, LLMs out there, and you say, you know, you do that same prompting, you're not going to get the same results. And so businesses are learning that what was traditionally working even 6 months or a year ago is changing, and those algorithms are changing too.
Yeah.
What is LLM and EGO? And I'm not familiar with those.
Yeah, we have people in the audience who may not understand a lot of some of the terms. Yeah.
So the LLM is large language models. So it's everything from like ChatGPT to Gemini to Quinn to you had mentioned Anthropic with just Claude, and there's so many out there, right? To the EGO side is the generative optimization side. So how can you optimize your business or to be a part of those search results within those LLMs? So like if I say, you know, for a search on ChatGPT about a bank near me, you're not going to get the same results as if you put in a bank near me in Google. And because it's the way that the models think, right? So if you think of a model and the way it thinks, it's thinking from a much different perspective of, oh, like you want to learn about banks and you want to know more about it. So the search results are going to encompass in an LLM a way different result than if you were just saying, you know, what's a bank near me on Google, where it's just going to spit out, well, here's a Chase or whatever, and it's, you know, X number of miles away.
I'm going to have to ask this one because now it's kind of going over my head. If I'm on ChatGPT and I've never used it, which is the truth. So if I ask a question such as what banks are near me, do I need to get a little more specific for it to pull up information, or is ChatGPT more like an encyclopedia versus Google, which is actually going to be using your sentences to kind of be more reading your mind as to how I'm not sure what the right word is. You know what I'm trying to say?
No, like, I think he's got it.
Yeah. And so that's the coolest part about these language models is they're not, to your point, Paul, it's exactly right, is they're not just spitting out data based on, you know, like who's highest in their paid placement or who's got the best optimization with their websites or, you know, who's ultimately, you know, won that space or arena as part of that game. Large language models are also there to teach you and educate you, right? So they're trying to give you knowledge along with your results. So one, in general, the more you put in, the more you get out with prompting. And that's a whole nother, you know, conversation that we
could be a whole nother podcast. Yeah, just it on could prompting. Be a whole, yeah.
But literally what people are learning is the better you get at prompting, the better results you get. And so many times what's really frustrating to people, and I think you hit on something really important, is they'll put in like a 3-word prompt and they'll be like, oh, I didn't get back what I wanted. This is broken. I don't want to learn, you know, AI. Where if you get really good about your prompting and you learn, you know, even each model, each large language model is different. They'll even talk specifically about like, oh, you can actually go to one specific LLM and ask it to build you a prompt for another AI tool, which will produce better results. And then it's now you getting better at, okay, it didn't give me exactly what I want, but let me get more creative and more detailed in that follow-up. And every time you do that, the results get better and better.
So if I were to say, hey, DJ, my company on the accounting side would love to have you come in and introduce us to AI. I think it's probably the best thing because I don't think anyone in my office understands how that even works. I mean, we're in the paper industry. I mean, like, I got stacks and stacks. I copy, I print.
You have a commercial grade printer in your office that's like 4.5 feet tall.
Yeah. I mean, I go through a case every 2 days. Okay. I go through a case every 2 days. So, you know, I'm going through 10,000 sheets.
Paul, certified tree killer.
I'm a certified tree killer, but I hug every sheet of paper so tight before I toss it. I promise you I do. It's like handheld, grip tight. But no, honestly. So I would want to invite you in, literally, to introduce AI to a team, since none of us in that office understands AI to where and what degree it can help our industry. Because in my world, I don't want to get involved into AI because I know it can replace me in a certain degree. But hearing what you're saying, it could enhance our industry by giving our clients faster results. Flip side is they may just take on that responsibility themselves and say, hey, we don't need you. I'll be responsible. I will get the AI software and then it'll do A, B, and C for me. And then I will just give you a report. So I will save X dollar every month by not having to pay you, but I pay this service fee of, I don't even what it costs, but whatever the service fee is every month for my AI service. And so I've gotten replaced by a couple of people because of that. How would you bring that into the table of it can help enhance? Because I don't know how it would enhance. I get scared because it's replacing me.
Yeah. So I just had this opportunity with a company most recently. We sat down as a leadership group and we said, okay, like, how can we give you a better lens into AI? And we started with things like from a leadership side of things, like what tools specifically are out there for AI to help you be a better leader and to lead your people and then to help your people become more efficient and more effective at what they do. A lot of it is, you know, I know you hear that phrase over time, but knowledge is power. And I do believe that there will always be the need for humans even to be there to guide AI, right? Because until we get to a place where, you know, we're truly hitting that next level of, AGI, which is another term for like that next level of can they start to truly reason and then take it a step further. AI is still in that, in my opinion, place of they really need humans to be the ones driving the input to get the output. And as far as your original question, Paul, which I love, is so many people, once they see it, I just got done working with a gentleman who was kind of in the exact same space that you were just talking about. And now he sends me stuff like every other day and he's having so much fun with, you know, learning from AI, building an AI, utilizing it for his business and his leadership team. And it's really fun to watch and be a part of. But the biggest thing I believe is that the reason why people shy away from it is they just don't understand it and they don't know the capabilities of what it can do from just even the day-to-day stuff that we do as leadership and business owners to how does it empower their people to even be better at the role specifically that they do within the business.
I want to double click in on Paul's question and get a little bit more specific, because part of disarming the fear of the unknown, which is what we're kind of talking about a little bit, is like in the details. So can you give us and Paul a couple examples of AI tools. Like, what are the first two or three AI tools that you would introduce to a CPA to help optimize his business and automate it?
Yeah. So for CPA specifically, I think there's a few tools out there that one, you can run agents, which I think is a huge opportunity. So, I don't know, you know, currently, Paul, what you guys use for internal CRMs. I don't know, you know, if you've, you know, thought about creating workflows, but now there's so many opportunities to create workflows that are triggered based on specific things that happen within your business. And for me to not know enough about exactly, you know, how do your customers interact with you, but there's so many things that, like, let's say, for instance, response time is really important to you, or the ability for them to interact with some form of your business right away, and then for you to be notified of that, and then to be able to jump into that interaction in real time versus maybe missing that opportunity, is just one small piece to that. Everything too, from the opportunity to how are you going about getting, you know, your marketing out to your specific client base. So many different tools through AI now allows you to really be effective in a different vehicle than your traditional. Like, let's say, for instance, maybe, I don't even know if you're doing this, but, you know, if you're doing a newsletter, or if you're doing a marketing campaign to your, you know, current clientele base, or how are you, you know, trying to capture, for instance, new customers or clients. Like, for instance, AI gives you the ability, here's one specific example of, you can go out and search your competitors. You can see what their key search words are doing. You can see what they're paying in advertising. You can see where their marketing dollars are being spent, and you can see how much return and how successful they are with that stuff. And AI provides you with all of that data. So now as a business owner, you can say, okay, everything from like backlinks, who are they, you know, ultimately, you know, communicating with, and who are they connected with, to what's working and not working. And for a long time, that was a little bit of an unknown, right? Or the major players had so much opportunity because they had the spend to do it. But now, regardless of the size of your business or even the opportunity that based on your knowledge, AI can provide so many of those tools and resources for you that you can ultimately compete at that same level as somebody, maybe even with 2 to 3 times the market spend.
I love that. So like one example that I thought of from like even from my own business, from some of the stuff you were sharing, is, you know, if I had an AI agent, which an AI agent is kind of like a mini employee, they have like a task or set of tasks that's what they do. It's like, okay, a thing happens and this is how I respond to the thing that happens. So for example, anytime someone submits through the form on my website, an email comes in to my work email, and that's in the exact same format every single time because it's automated. And so in theory, I could have an AI agent read the email address that's in that thing and then have a auto drafted response in response. So my response time to a query is virtually instantaneous, because like data shows that the faster you respond to a lead, the higher your odds of closing that lead. And so that would be like an example of something that I could do. But, you know, something I thought about, like for Paul, and I don't know like necessarily like how possible is this, but could Paul in a way have an AI agent or software that is essentially helping write these tax returns, and then he's just kind of reviewing them, so he's spending less time with the manual data entry labor and more time just supervising, essentially almost like you would supervise an employee?
There, the capabilities are there. And Ben, to be really fair, there's so many abilities with workflows where you can literally get that comprehensive within the tool itself to say, like, not only do I want it to trigger based on this, but I want it to, you know, interact this way, and I want it to do these things. As far as the capabilities with, you know, writing specific things, the capabilities are out there. It's just how far do you want to take it? And then ultimately, how much, you know, are you willing to, you know, give that to the AI and then oversee it, right? So in some of that stuff, you know, and again, the coolest part about AI and even consulting businesses is today's world, you don't have to know everything about everyone's business. You just have to know what tools are out there that the business could utilize in order for the AI to do those things, right? And I do believe that's another reason why people are starting to adapt more and more to AI is because they're not like, for instance, they're not like, okay, I have to go to college for this, or, you know, I have to study this for this amount of time. The tools itself are incredibly intelligent. It's just what are you looking for and what's going to help you as a business owner or as a leader or professional to ultimately provide either a vehicle for you to be more engaged with your clients or to have a better response time or to just create a better experience, right? And I do believe that people are getting more comfortable with AI. Like, for instance, I would even say a year ago, people still were like, I don't want anything that's not a real human. I'm not comfortable with it. But now, and we had talked about this earlier, people are getting more comfortable because they're finding out it has evolved, right? Like, if you even look at like avatars, which is wild. 6 months ago, even avatars were, you know, a little bit quirky at best as far as like how human-like were they. And now companies like HeyGen are creating avatars of us, like we can build ourselves, that are very human-like, right? So
define a little bit of like what an avatar is. Explain to it for someone who has no idea.
Yeah. So an avatar would be, let's say as a business owner, you don't want to do video after video, right? You want to create an avatar that looks just like you, that sounds just like you, your voice is the same, and you can then provide it text and it will create videos or learning experiences or things for your business. And it's literally an avatar of you. And so like companies like HeyGen offer hundreds of avatars you can choose from, or you can literally create your own avatar and literally it looks and sounds just like you.
That's wild.
It's wild. Yeah.
So we could talk about AI for like hours and hours, but I want to, because we have Sarah here, I want to talk a little bit about the actual business side of things. So you started your business toward the beginning of this year, and you've been working largely through referrals and affiliates, like kind of your warm audience, people that you know. So what are your goals for the business? Like next 12 months and like even beyond, what are you wanting this to grow into?
Yeah. So short term, I would love to just continue to build the brand, right? So one of the things that's really important to me is that human-centered business is a huge piece to my puzzle. And just being able to get the name out there and the brand out there to say, listen, we're not just here to, you know, integrate AI into your business, but we're really here to say, let's give you the tools and the coaching and the training so that you can continue on this journey and be successful. And so long term, it's I'm excited to share that I'm getting ready to launch a YouTube channel. And
And is it going to be called named after your business?
It starts with us. Yep. Okay. And then also working on live webinars where I want to bring in communities of people that say, to your point, Paul, how can I and my business help to give you those tools and knowledge, right? To say like, okay, let's just talk through, like every single week, there's a new tool out there. And a lot of these tools are free. And I could sit here probably for the next half hour and just name off tool after tool after tool, whether it's Napkin or Gamma, or, I mean, it just goes on, AI Studio, where all of these tools, for the most part, are absolutely free to us as users.
It's amazing how much stuff is free.
Yeah. Right. And game changing, right? To the point where when people start to really use them, they're like, this is like mind blowing, right? And you and I were talking about this a little bit earlier too. So long term, I'd love the opportunity to also create that experience where people are like, okay, it's not as, you know, what I would say is crazy or as uncertain as I thought it was. And there's so many ways that it can help, even if you don't own a business, right? Just to immerse yourself and get more comfortable with AI, because at the end of the day, I believe it's a better experience.
Yeah. So do you want to be continually involved, like boots on the ground, or like as you grow, are you wanting to hire employees and delegate more tasks and just kind of oversee things? Like, where do you see your own role in the business as it grows?
So one of the things that's really important to me is, yeah, boots on the ground. I always ran with the mindset of, I can't do it, I shouldn't be teaching somebody else how to do it. And with AI, it moves so fast that you and I were talking about this again, Ben, like you can literally catch AI news weekly and you're like, this came out. So it's really critically important to me to say, how can I be immersed and stay a part of that?
It's almost a part-time job, just keeping up.
It is.
Yeah, because it's not just reading a news. It's like, okay, now I need to explore this. What are the limits? What is it good at? What is it not good at still? Because it's like, I don't want to recommend a tool to my client thinking that it's going to help them with X problem. And then it's like, oh, it's actually like not very good at that, solving that problem. So it's not just reading a headline or reading an article. You have to actually take time to explore the limits of that tool as it currently exists.
Yeah, and to your point, this is what's really wild. So I would say even 3 months ago, without Canvas being a tool within major LLMs like Gemini and some of the other major players, you couldn't say, write me code for. And you and I were talking about Pro 2.5. And now you can literally say, create me a landing page for my, and it will literally write the code, show you a preview, and it works like extremely well, like almost to the point where like there's no errors. And if there is an error, it will literally, you can prompt it to fix
it. It can debug itself. Yeah.
That's like, makes you a free web page. Like,
you know, I don't
need a web guy.
I see reels.
I know.
I literally see reels now of people who do web design, and all they're doing is taking $500 to plug something into an AI tool that does it in 5 or 10 minutes, and then sending it back to the client a few hours later to make it look like they did something.
Oh no, I'm like, okay, that like hurts my soul.
Yeah, no, I was like, well, you'll get to do that for maybe a year before people figure that out, and then, you know, it'll be done. Now, a lot of the problem is, as of now, correct me if I'm wrong, as of now, my understanding is most of the websites and apps that are being coded by AI, the code is not particularly good. So even if it works, it's not secure. It sometimes is like very bloated and inefficient, which is only a matter of time before it fixes all of that. But a lot of websites now that are built with AI are super easy for people to hack and break into and you know, do all kinds of whatever they want with.
But wouldn't you just be able to, it creates this web page, right? And then you upload it through GoDaddy and then secure it down with GoDaddy's security tools, or I may be talking out of my rear. I don't even know. It might be wrong.
Fair to say, Paul, and you're on the right track, is there, and I'm glad you brought this up, Ben, because one of the things that's important to me is there are a lot of players out there who are like, you know, for instance, oh, hey, you know, I've got this tool, and it's like kind of like the whole get rich quick like theory.
Yeah.
And I really worry about that, because I worry for business owners and leaders. They look at it and go, oh my gosh, this is going to change my world. And what I really want the experience to be is there's still some work involved, right? And to your point, Paul, you with API keys and the opportunity through OpenAI, you can, whether you're on the cloud, whether you're running on your own server, whether you have your own GPU, there's so many different opportunities. And one of the things that's really exciting is the open sourceness of a lot of these LLMs. And like, for instance, again, on Pro, Gemini was really inspirational lately on saying, we're going to give out the API key and let everybody have access to it right away. And what API means is basically you can have it on your own platform, on your own server, on your own GPU, whatever you want to call it. And you don't have to live on a closed source, right? And what's exciting about that is, to your point about the GoDaddy thing, is you can also literally take what AI is allowing you to do and build yourself some of these incredible tools like websites and other things, like, for instance, workflows. Like, you'll hear a ton about this, like N8N, and there's all these opportunities where you can learn, how do you build a workflow? How do you, you know, create an API key? How do you put that into your CRM, right? There's one particular CRM that's really popular right now. It's called GHL, Go High Level. And a lot of why people love it is there's a white label opportunity to it, which means I can then create it and make it look like it's for just my business only. And I can integrate all of these other opportunities within it that help my business be even more effective, more efficient, which is taking businesses to the next level, right? As far as the website piece, and I Ben, I believe that you're on the right track there too, is you can only do that for so long. And then people go, well, wait a second, I'm getting, you know, either the short end of this, or you're making a ton of money off of me and I have no support or help. And so I do really want to encourage people, like, ask those questions. And Sarah, you asked this about me earlier too, is like, why is it important that people work with me? Is because I want to make sure that they fully understand it. They immerse themselves in it, and that they can ultimately use the tools, you know, long term, way past my opportunity to work with them, and then to be able to evolve with the tool as the tool gets better. So
do you walk into a business and offer a teaching module of this, or do you come in and implement it, or do you teach and implement? What's the basis behind bringing you into my company or a company in general?
And also, where do you want to go? Because I was also curious when you were talking, I wanted to know the business model you're building, because you're talking about building a personal brand or building a brand, yep. Which obviously can go in a lot of different directions. And I was wondering if you're still going to be just doing mainly consulting in that future world, or if you're really just trying to be an educator.
I love the opportunity to teach people how to, you know, go about utilizing the tools and being successful. Don't get me wrong. If they want the turnkey approach, we can provide it. And it's beneficial, but I see the true value behind being able to walk into a business and say, Sarah, let's sit down. Let's, you know, whatever it is that we decide on that you feel is going to be best for you. And then teach you those things and allow you to successfully know how to do that. If I were to share, like, where do I want this to go? I would much rather be, have the opportunity to go in and say, like, let's teach your people, or let's teach you, versus let me just create everything. We'll build it. We'll put it, you know, we'll implement it and we'll launch it. And then it's kind of like, they're still in that space of like, okay, I have all this, but I have no idea how to actually, you know, utilize it to its fullest potential, nor do I know how to be successful longer term with the tools that you just gave me.
So you want like a done with you, you're going to continue with like a done with you model type of thing. Like you're doing it with them.
Yeah.
Versus like done for you, right? As like it's hands off, but you're just like doing it all and maybe like presenting them a solution, but then they're kind of like, they don't have ongoing support versus the do it yourself, which you could go that route if you really want. It doesn't sound like that's what you're looking at, but of building like courses and, you know, all of these things to, and like out of the box solutions, which obviously would make probably what you're doing more accessible to more people, but also less of hands-on help from you. So you're saying, I guess I'm hearing you're wanting to go and continue down the route of done with you ongoing and all that service.
Absolutely. And okay. There's so many communities out there in the AI fields now and in the environment that you can learn so much from these communities, right? And some of the influential people that I've learned from over the last 8 months, one of the things I really picked up on is, it's only your practice if you know it, but it's a best practice if everybody knows it. And don't be afraid to share your knowledge, because it only comes back to help you and others. So one of the things that got me excited was, okay, the more you can get out there and the more you can share with people, the more ultimately it's going to benefit them and you in the long term. And as far as, I really want to hit on this. I've worked with so many people lately, and I'm in a community right now where I'm watching it happen, where they've signed up for specific AI tools or resources, but there's not a really solid like teaching or help or even just support, right? And so many of these professionals and business owners are just lost. You see it over and over again, even in the communities, like, I don't even know what I'm doing, or I don't even know what this stuff is. And so what's really important to me is that, yes, there's a lot of incredible tools out there, but you have to be able to help people navigate those waters, or also it's going to create a really bad experience, and the likelihood that they're going to continue on or even entertain it again is a lot less.
Yeah. I would agree 100%. Knowledge is very important. And one of the things I feel as an entrepreneur and somebody who is in an industry where they seek help is to be able to not just help them, but to help them understand what it is I'm helping them with.
Yeah, Paul, that's awesome. And so many of us, and we're all business owners, we got into business because we're passionate about what our business is and why we got into it in the first place, right? But so much of that gets clouded or mixed in with the other things that we didn't get into business for. And ultimately, we find ourselves doing a lot more of those things than we do what originally got us into business, right? So this also opens the door to say, like, let's get you back to what you're passionate about. Let's get you back to what you love about why you even started in the first place. And that's in my eyes, the lens and vision of what AI does to allow business owners and leaders to have that.
If that's not part of your sales pitch, it should be.
I literally was going to say, is that your headline under my
pitch? Yeah, that should be part of like the website. Get, you know, make, love your business again. Kind of, you know, like, yeah, yeah. I love that. And, you know, it's funny because I saw a tweet. It circled around X, which I hate calling it that. I like Twitter. But anyways, that said, you know, I want AI to do my you know, the math and the more rudimentary stuff so I can make art, not AI make the art. So I do the, you know.
Yeah.
The, and so you're kind of tapping into that is helping find the tools that offload the. You know, Elon says this a lot about the robots and stuff like Tesla's doing Optimus and humanoid robots are a whole other thing. But it's like we want to do things that are boring, repetitive, mundane, and dangerous. Like those are the things that we really want to outsource so that we can do the things that are fun, creative, and safe.
But even like, and you bring up, you know, Elon and X, most recently this was in this week's news, X, which is their AI version, XAI. Just bought X because
yes, I saw that.
There's such a because with large language models, they need enormous amounts of data to learn and to grow, and so an opportunity like that is huge for Grok because now it's learning from all of the input that X is providing, right? So, and that's one of the biggest challenges right now, and they keep talking about it is, you know, how is, you know, especially specifically to America, going to keep up with, you know, the Chinese models, because if they don't let the copyright stuff continue to be sourced and ultimately learned from, they're going to fall behind, right? Because there's so much to that. So I know that's a little
quantity
bit
of, is everything for AI models.
It is. Yeah. And again, I know that's a little bit of a rabbit hole, but it's really where they learn. And, the, you know, even like you were talking about the robots, they're learning in, now virtual environments, and they're learning at a much faster
pace.
Thank
you, NVIDIA.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we, you know, like I said, we could talk for hours. We don't have hours because people have, you know, tons of stuff to do. But before we wrap up, I would love to hear from you. Like if someone is brand new to AI, doesn't even know really where to start, what would you point them toward as like the AI 101? I want to dive into this world, but I'm like overwhelmed. How would you encourage someone to get in brand new?
If you're a brand new to AI, I would say first, see if you can find someone that one knows enough about AI to kind of take you through it, right? Meaning someone who is either dabbled in it, had some experience in it, but can, you know, that you trust and that is knowledgeable, that can say, okay, let's take you down this path of like, let's show you some prompting and let's show you some of the tools that are out there for AI. If that doesn't exist, then I would say the biggest thing is, and I'm a fan of it, is YouTube is a great resource. And I know that that's kind of, people are like, oh yeah, here comes the YouTube story, right? But there's some really passionate people out there doing some incredible things, helping people through YouTube. And I'm sure you've all heard this, but you know, even education that took 4 years, you can learn in 6 months to a year on YouTube, which is wild.
So I can recommend specifically Matt Wolf's YouTube channel. Very good, very high quality videos. And he has some videos that are more like beginner, intro level, others that are more technical. So you kind of could walk through the varying stages of learn, like 101, 201, whatever, with all the AI tools. Like he has one I was watching today, like AI tools that I actually use every day and like why I use them and how you can use them. And so like those types of videos are really helpful if you're just brand new. And another thing that's cool too is you can take, and this is easier to do now thanks to Gemini 2.5's massive context window. So YouTube auto generates captions for every video. You can expand the description, scroll down, hit a button that says show captions, copy and paste the captions for the entire video into Gemini 2.5. And then like, because if the video is too technical for you, you can have the AI simplify and explain it to me like I'm a third grader, you know, hey, this concept I didn't really understand. Expound on this for me. Because like AI is one of the first technologies that can tell you how to use itself, you know, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And I'll leave you with this last one, which is incredible. And I hope everybody goes and checks it out. AI Studio, you can literally get to their streamline inside of it and you can share your screen. And let's say you're stuck on a specific Excel spreadsheet or a specific tool that you're trying to learn more about. And it will literally teach you in real time, live. Like, you can ask it questions and say, okay, how do I do this? And it will literally walk you through the steps live.
Like looking at your screen.
Like looking at your screen.
That is pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Awesome.
And it's completely free.
Yeah. Do you have any ending questions before we wrap up? Paul, Sarah?
No, I'm excited. I don't know enough about AI, but it gives me enough incentive to want to learn about AI versus, okay, I'm going to leave it over there because I'm scared of it. Yeah. So this is good. This is great insight, honestly.
Awesome. Well, DJ, thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate your time. Maybe we'll have you come out and we'll do like an in-depth on prompting and all this other stuff, because I can just tell that we've barely scratched the surface of the depth of knowledge that you have around these tools and these and the technology and these systems. And I mean, if we have you back 6 months from now, it's going to be a whole nother thing anyway, right? Because it changes so fast. But if people want to find you and connect with you, what is the best way to do that?
Yeah, come find me on either LinkedIn or my new YouTube channel or my website. So it's itstartswithusllc.com for my website. But I'm really, really, really focused on doing live webinars in the near future and really creating really helpful content on my YouTube channel.
I love that. We'll link to as many platforms and things as we can in the description, both on the podcast form and the YouTube form. And for those of you who have joined us, we thank you so much. We appreciate it. We want to hear from you in the comments. What are you using for AI for in your business? And if you're not, what would you like to use AI for? We thank you all so much for watching, and we will see you in the next one.